What pleases God? What brings pleasure to God? And who can please God? These are questions of monumental significance. These are questions that are vitally important to all of us in this room. For God has created every one of us, and God sustains every moment of our existence. And one day, every one of us will stand before God. And the question, what pleases God, or who pleases God, is really important for us. As I look at God's assessment about what pleases him, I find statements like this. Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is being revealed against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. I think of Romans 2, verse 5, that says, because of your unrepentant heart and because of your stubbornness, you're storing up God's wrath against you for the day of the unleashing of his wrath. I think of Romans chapter 3, verse 5. What shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he? I think of Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. There is none righteous, not one. There is no one who understands, no one who even seeks for God. They have all turned aside and together become useless. There is no one who does good, not even one. From the first man and the first woman, down to every man and every woman here, and every man and woman who has ever lived, God has been greatly displeased by us. But there was one who pleased God. Jesus, the man. When he came to John the Baptist in the river and was baptized, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased." And in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus revealed himself in some way to the disciples, sort of uncloaked the outshining radiance of his glory for them on the top of a mountain, another voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him. With him I am well pleased." An entire line of humanity walked before God, generation after generation, decade after decade, century after century, millennia after millennia, and God was displeased. God even looked at the best things that mankind had to offer him, and he was displeased by those best things. You and I are hopeless and helpless and unsatisfactory. But there was one who pleased God. I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 53 tonight as we think about Jesus' death and what it accomplished for those who believe. Verse 9, Isaiah writes about this one who pleased God. He had done no violence. In contrast with all who walked before him and all who walked after. Nor was there any deceit in his mouth, but Yahweh was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he would see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of Yahweh would prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he would see it and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. What pleases God? Certainly nothing that you or I could offer to God. But what God offered himself in our place as our substitute, as our sin bearer, as the one who would justify us who believe, that one pleases God. and the substitution of that one in my place, in your place, pleased God. This is very strange. We were infinitely displeasing to God. And for his own pleasure and for his own glory, he substituted the one who is always pleasing to him in place of we who were always displeasing to him. So that we might be declared by him to be perfectly pleasing, perfectly righteous, justified. So that we could go free, so that we could belong to him, so that he could purchase for us a new life that is pleasing to him. Listen to what God says about believers in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "Brethren, we request and we exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more." Believer, you who have trusted in this one who pleased God by presenting himself as a guilt offering in our place, you can live a life pleasing to God, which was impossible apart from the one who came who pleased him. If you are here tonight and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness has been credited to your account through faith and faith alone, you make God happy. Not because of anything you bring, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who secured for you God's pleasure. I would invite you, believer, tonight to rejoice in the pleasure of God through Jesus Christ. We're going to drink some juice and we're going to eat some bread that are a reminder of the blood that Jesus spilt and the body that was crushed in our place. And as you crush this morsel, remember the one who has crushed, that it pleased God to crush, that we might go free. And as you drink this juice, remember the blood that was spilled, so that you might be forgiven, so that you might be declared righteous, so that you who were displeasing to God might be forever pleasing to him. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would invite you to believe. I would invite you right now to turn from yourself, to turn from your old life, to turn from your sin, to turn from unbelief, and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace him as the only hope and the only way to be made right with God. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death in your place to secure your place with God, this day you can be justified. You can be declared righteous by God, and you can have forgiveness of sin guaranteed forever. I would invite you to do that. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if that's just not where you are yet, we pray that you will be. We pray that you will believe. But we would ask that the elements that come by, that you would just let those go by. These are for believers to celebrate and proclaim what Jesus has done in our place. The men are going to come forward at this time, and they'll pass out those elements. And just take that juice and that cup after you have remembered the Lord Jesus and his death.